Hi, this is Nicole from the Clinton Macomb Public Library. I am here with Kate
Hello, everybody.
and Megan
Good morning, or whenever you're listening, I guess.
and Celia.
Hello.
And we all work at the main branch, and today we're here to talk about books that we've read by Indigenous authors. Basically, this month we are celebrating National Indigenous Peoples Heritage Month, or you may have heard it as National Native American Heritage Month. And we are doing that by we all picked books that we hadn't read before, but that we were going to go ahead and read for the podcast and that we could then discuss with each other. So, Kate is going to get us started off with the book that she read, which I believe was The Berry Pickers.
It was the Berry Pickers, yep.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, cool. So I picked The Berry Pickers by Amanda Peters, and that is a hot read last month, I believe, and I think it was the book of the month for October at CMPL. So we have a bunch of copies of it. It's not too hard to come by. We also have the audio, which is how I listen to the book. In the description of the book, when I first read it, I was like, oh, I think I guessed the twist already, but th it's not like a secret. a First Nations family from Nova Scotia goes to Maine for the summer to pick berries. And they have like five kids or something like that. And the youngest kid is 4 years old. And one day she kind of wanders off on her own and gets, she goes missing. And her 6-year-old brother is the last one to see her, and they basically never see her again for many, many years. And then in the alternate narrative is her growing up in this family that took her. So yeah, it's no secret that that's her in the alternate narrative, and her brother is just haunted by this disappearance and what could he have done, and where is she basically? So there's a lot of themes that like show up in both narratives. I would say the biggest theme is just siblings itself. So for example, obviously the sibling with his missing younger sister, and is haunted by her disappearance. But in her narrative, she's raised by the person that kidnapped her, but also that person has a sibling that she's very close with, a sister. And the sister, they're so close, where the sister seems like a moral person, but she never like turns her own sister into the authorities for obviously kidnapping somebody. And it's, I think it's written very well in that no one's completely good or evil. That you have a little bit of sympathy for, say, for example, the sister that knows what's going on but never turns, the culprit in the kidnapper. But then there's a lot of other themes that show up in different ways in both timelines, like addiction, pregnancy loss, various different things. But anyway, it's really good. And I both listened to it and read the book. So I would like listen to it a little bit and then like figure out where I was in the book and read it. In this case, I would actually recommend reading the book as opposed to listening to it. It's narrated by two different people, the brother and the sister. I like the sister's narration, but the brother talked too fast for me, which is weird because I usually speed up audiobooks, but then like it was sped, so like it was sped too much where I had to like slow it back down, which I didn't like. But yeah, I would recommend reading the book.
Good to know.
That's an interesting way of doing it. I wonder if anyone else partially reads the paper book and then partially listens to the audiobook. I would find that impossible to keep track of.
I like
I've
just
done
it
it.
just kind of depends on what kind of time you've got. Like, oh, I'm driving, so I'll listen to it. Now I gotta like I'm on a break at work, so I'll read it.
I'm one of the few people who still has a CD player in their car, and so I've definitely done that with audiobooks where I'm like at last week I got an audiobook and I'm like, well, I can't listen to it over the weekend, so I'm gonna have the paperback too that I'm gonna now start reading so I can finish this book. But yeah, if I can like only get it on audio CD, then that's usually something I'll do is eventually switch to the print.
Right.
Or if the narration bugs me enough, but the book is interesting,
Right.
then I will switch. too.
I'll do both with really long books. Like I'm too intimidated to pick up an 1800 or 800 page book like and just read it, but if I know that I can like tackle it in two different ways, then I'll do
Yeah.
it.
I also know
Okay.
people who do it who will read and listen at the same time who have dyslexia, and that really helps. So, but that's like the people, I think I know two different people who do this, listen simultaneously while reading.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
I used to
clearly
make
you're the
my
odd one out.
Clearly.
Okay, Megan, what did you read?
Okay, so the book that I brought is actually a kid's book. I do work with adults, but the book that I chose is a book of short stories that is geared for children aged 8 to 12, and all of the stories are appropriate for kids, but I typically do read adult books, and I found all of the stories really interesting for adults as well. It's called Ancestor Approved: Intertribal Stories for Kids. The editor is Cynthia Leitich Smith. And if I'm not mistaken, this was a Michigan Notable book.
It was.
Okay, yeah, which I think is why I had heard of it and picked it up. And so the idea with this book is that all of the stories are set at and around a powwow that takes place every year in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So either the people in the story are at the powwow, or they're coming to the powwow, or they're planning for the powwow. But the people come from all over the US and maybe even Canada. I know there are some people from Sault Ste. Marie who come down, and so they may are kind of right on the border there. So that was part, one of the things that I really liked about this story is that you get to see people from all different kinds of tribes, and what they're you, it's at a powwow, right? So you get a little sense of like what they're powwow outfits look like. And of course, then I'm, going online to Google, what does this actually look like? Because I want to see the beadwork. I want to see what that collar looks like. When they say it's like, what is jingling? So it's definitely one of those where it made me want to go and look up more information. But it doesn't feel like, you read the stories, but the stories are about people. So it doesn't feel like an info dump or anything. It doesn't feel like it's trying to teach you anything. The stories are about, sisters, and one has gone away to college, and the one who's left at home really misses her. And so they're going to see each other for the first time at the powwow. And it's about families who live across the United States all the time, and they're coming to the powwow. It's about kids who have responsibility for the first time to man the booth where their family is selling things. It's about kids overcoming the fear of performing for the first time. So a lot of the main characters are kids, but if you don't mind that, then I think that people of all ages could really enjoy the book. There's also so. The stories are written by all kinds of different authors as well. There's a few poems and stories that are written by the same person, but there's maybe, I don't know, 20 some different authors, and they all have bios at the back of the book as well. So you can see if they're members of a certain nation, and where in the country they come from. Some of these authors would be familiar to adult readers, like Rebecca Roanhorse. So yeah, it was good.
Agreed.
Are they nonfiction stories
No, they're
or
fiction
fictionalized?
stories.
Oh, okay. All
Yeah.
right. Interesting. I'm
And there
just
are
curious
poems as
'cause
well.
I've been to that powwow before, so I was curious 'cause
Yeah.
there is one in Ann Arbor every year.
I went
Yeah.
to a powwow on accident once.
Oh.
So, at a certain point when you're driving up the freeway, like heading toward the UP, there's points where the freeway runs through reservation land. And it's not very clear, but it runs through the land. So we stopped to go to the bathroom in this park, and it turned out there was a whole powwow happening, and we were kind of like, are we allowed to be here? But everybody was, so they're like, come over here, look at our stuff.
Oh, cool.
So we were feeling a little bit like, oops, we did not mean to do this, but everyone was super nice and it was fun, so.
Well, the public is invited to this powwow, and I think if you read Ancestor Approved, you will learn how to be a good guest.
That's good. Yeah, because
that would be very helpful. Yes.
I was going to say, Nicole, that was my experience too, going to the Ann Arbor one, was that it was the public was invited and they were encouraging people to come to it. And it's huge too.
Right.
Like, I think it's in the stadium. No, not the big house, but the.
Last
anyways.
I looked at, I think it's at Skyline High School.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But
different spot.
Okay. And it's in February or March, so plenty of time to plan.
We'll stop giving people bad information about where things are. Look it up on the official websites, please, and thank you.
All right, Megan, who's next?
Nicole, do you want to go next?
Sure, I love being chosen. So, the book that I chose to read was Bad Cree by Jessica Jones. Part of the reason that I chose to read that is because I'm really loving this year, and maybe a little bit last year, there's been this really big trend in publishing where we are seeing more and more different tribes being represented in literature, different people from different places around the world. Like, personally, you know, as you know, we're from Michigan, so we get a lot of books that are representative of people from Michigan, or people from the Midwest. So I usually don't see a lot of people, like Indigenous peoples from Canada. This was really interesting to me. So it's about this girl called Mackenzie. I say girl, she's a grown woman. She grew up in a very close-knit family, which I really related to. Her cousins were basically her siblings. They had just monthly meetings where they would all go to this lake. And they would all just sort of, they would, like, their entire childhoods are mixed up together. But at one point, their grandmother had died, and it had really brought a lot of grief to the family. This book is a lot about dealing with grief. And I know that everyone is like, Nicole, you're reading a sad book about grief? No, don't worry. This is a horror book. We're
oh,
gonna
it's horror?
Get we're
oh
gonna
my gosh.
Get to the scary. But this book is a lot about dealing with grief. And so Mackenzie, she can't handle it. She can't handle being with all these people that just remind her of someone that was so essential in her life. So she moves. They're from Alberta. She moves to Vancouver, and she stays there for 3 years. And she has a decent life there. She gets a job. Her mom introduces her to a couple of people from a different tribe, but they're very welcoming and they help her out. But she's just sort of, she's not telling you, but the description of her is letting you know this woman is very depressed. You know, every once in a while, her friend comes over and says, you got to clean this apartment. You got to wash that hair. You know, so we sort of get the feeling that she's not dealing with this. And then she starts having nightmares. And in her nightmares, she's usually running through the woods, through the snow. She doesn't recognize until later that it's the same woods by this lake that they used to play at. But it's very, the dreams are very real, to the point where she starts bringing things back out of the dreams. She'll wake up and she's holding a stick, like a branch that she had brushed aside. And they disappear eventually, but they're real, they're in the real world. And she really starts to worry when she wakes up and there is a dead crow in her hand.
In her hand?
Yes. Oh, that would be concerning.
Yes. Okay. So she had this particular nightmare is the first time that her sister, who had also passed away, appeared in the dream, and she's being attacked by some crows. So Mackenzie goes to try to save her, kind of takes out one of those crows, and comes back, and it's in her hand. And she goes, this is not good. So she starts talking to her friends in Vancouver. She finally realizes, I have to reach out to my family. They're going to think I'm crazy. Turns out nobody thinks she's crazy. Everybody's like, yeah, do you not remember any of the old Cree stories? Like, hello, like we talked about this. This was going to happen. Like, you have to come home. And so she comes home and there is the whole mess of, hey, I left for 3 years and did not deal with this grief, but they all sort of band together. And, you know, all of the girls have, all of the cousins have some sort of dream abilities. Her mom at one point had, so like, it's just this thing that runs in their family. And so they sort of help her come to terms with her grief, but it turns out part of the reason that she can't get over it is because there is a Wendigo. Are you aware of what a Wendigo is? They call it a Weedigo in the book, but I find it really hard to say that.
No.
Yeah, I'm familiar
Explain
with the concept.
Okay. So the concept, as it's explained in the book, is that a Weedigo is a person, and by person they usually mean Cree person, who has been overtaken by grief or anger or some strong emotion, and who, it's usually, the Weedigo is called by massive greed, and we find out that there was some corporation or something dumping things into that wood. But they have this crazy strong emotion, and it makes them into a monster, and it makes them into a cannibalistic monster. We don't get that far in this book, don't worry. But the monster, it specifically likes cold areas. It lives in the snow. It is just like really terrifying, and they all start to realize, like, wait a minute, we don't remember how that sister died. How did she die? And it's all tangled up in that. But they all just have to sort of get together and find a way to destroy this creature, which has been really just preying on their family. And it's kind of heartwarming at the ending, you know, their family.
I love you adding that. So yeah. If we read it, we can expect a roller coaster, but we're going to come in for a soft landing.
Look, I love, again, the things that I love most about horror is that it's always a metaphor for something. And the metaphor here is clearly the family's grief and how they're dealing with it. And they all get together and they do deal with it. So that's a happy, happy ending. I also love that it's just like, it is so, all of the references to Cree culture and their language are so casual throughout the book. They're just like, no, you're just, you, if you don't know it, look it up, right? which I like. Like, this isn't for you if you're not willing to do the work. And I enjoy that. But, like, you can learn from context. Like, the word grandmother is, you can tell they're calling, what, you can tell they're referring to their grandmother. But I like that everything is just treated as, this is matter of fact. This is the way the world is. And I love that it's very, even from the beginning, like there's a point in the beginning where she's had that dream about the crow. And she rushes outside of her apartment building. And there's a guy, there's a white guy standing outside. And there's all these crows that are standing outside her building. As like a, hey, did you kill my buddy? and the guy that's next to her, he says, we've got to get an owl. And she says, what? And he's like, well, you know, crows and owls are natural enemies. And she's like, I am not here to educate you, sir. This is clearly about my dream. Right. So she's just like, I don't have time for you, right? Just walks away. But Wendigos are usually represented in Cree culture by owls. The owls and the crows are natural they are natural enemies. She sets that up really early from the beginning, that the crows are actually not the bad guys. I really enjoy that. I think it's really well done. I would recommend it if you like scary books. And if you don't like scary books, read it anyway, because maybe you'll like scary books.
Yeah, it sounds good.
So Celia, what's your book?
So I read Night of the Living Res by Morgan Talty, and that is not a horror book, despite the title and the
Indeed.
reference to Night of the Living Dead. It is a set of a series of short stories. There's 12 of them in this book, and they have two different groups of characters that switch back and forth between the stories. So the first one is this main character who is kind of on his own, and it's his relationship with his best friend. And most of the stories, I mean, they're kind of funny. They're all about them trying to get money to buy cigarettes and booze, and doing weird stuff for it, like trying to hunt porcupines and with like a stick that they're just throwing at the porcupine, or getting the one guy gets his hair frozen in the snow because he lays down for a nap, and then his friend comes along and has to like cut his hair to help him out. So they live on the reservation. This takes place in Maine, and so all the stories take place on the same reservation. The other group is. The other set of stories is told from the point of view of a young boy who has just moved to the reservation with his mother, and it's him kind of growing up. So you find out he has an older sister, and she's in and out of their life, going through some various things. And then there's this character who starts out as the medicine man and the healer in the tribe. But as it goes along, he kind of sinks more and more into alcoholism and away from the healing part of things. And he kind of moves in and is this stepfather figure that may or may not be dangerous or may or may not be helpful to them. So it is, there is a lot of stories of addiction and dealing with some of the family trauma. Also pregnancy loss, it's another one in there. Kate, and then but some of the stories have kind of more of a lighter hearted tone, and then there's definitely some that are more serious. So I enjoyed this a lot, and I usually am not a huge fan of short stories or literary fiction, but I found these to be just long enough to be compelling. And also, I liked how there were two separate storylines going on, so you could return to characters that you knew, but you also mixed it up with this other storyline. And other people can read it and let me know if this is true. I couldn't figure out if they were the same people and different ages, or if it was truly two different groups.
This sounds right up my alley. I'm going to read
Yeah, you absolutely should. It won
it.
a bunch of awards. I think it came out in 2020, and once it won a bunch of awards when it came out, 2022, so just last year. And one of my favorites is the two boys who are always trying to get money. I'm not really sure what age they are. I imagine like early 20s or so, and they get this idea where they're gonna like steal a bunch of stuff from the Native Museum on the reservation and like sell it on Antiques Roadshow.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay.
But they never succeed at anything. So that's the thing. So it's like it's kind of a comedy of errors with the two of them. I mean, there's a lot of really hard stuff going on it, and the main character is effectively homeless. But there's also these like really weird funny moments where it's like, I asked you to take the mail out 2 days ago, and now it's in the trash, you know? So there's like just them trying to do anything is kind of entertaining. So yeah, it's got that heartbreaking but also lighter moments to it.
All right, well, you have convinced me. I'm gonna read that.
There is also a storyline that is, or one of the stories is all about zombies, and that one is the Night of the Living Res one. Yeah.
All right, well, you've really convinced me. So, we've got to go ahead and wrap this up. But we want to discuss really quick the Renew Your Reading Challenge that we've had this year. We're going to go ahead and bring that into the next year. There will be, I believe it's eight prompts that you can that will help people discover new things. So if you're looking to challenge yourself a little bit and read sort of a book that maybe you wouldn't have discovered before, that's a good way to do it. And one of the challenges next year is going to be to read a book by an Indigenous author. So you are welcome to take any of our books that we've read, but we're also going to real quick give a couple of books that we think that are either out or coming out that you could read for that. And I'm just gonna, no explanation. There's a book called Cahokia Jazz by Frances Spufford coming out in February. It's an alternative history of the 1920s where the Indigenous people have always been in charge of America. And Swim Home to the Vanished by Brendan Shea Basham came out this year. Missing Brother, Missing Fish are the notes that I wrote down for myself. So, anyone else have any suggestions?
Well, I'll go with kind of what's become almost like a classic at this point, but Firekeeper's Daughter by Angeline Bouley. And she's got a new one out this year also called Warrior Girl Unearthed, which is not a sequel. And it took me a long time of listening to it to realize that, like, what? I don't remember this character being like this. But anyway, both of them are definitely recommended reads.
Cool. You can also do children's books. They count. So my recommendation from the children's book is We Are Water Protectors by Nishla Goad. And that one is actually one of our picks for our reading challenges for the kids. So we have a lot of pictures or a lot of copies of it. And it is a beautifully done book.
And I'm going to go with a book that I've been meaning to read for a long time and have never gotten around to. So Renew Your Reading will give me a chance to finally do it. And it's There, There by Tommy Orange, which is also set at a powwow, I believe, in LA. And when I looked it up, the audio of it has a full cast narration. And I always like that in an audiobook. So I'll probably do it that way.
Again, did you know that there's a new Tommy Orange book coming out?
I didn't, but I haven't read the first one, so I'm like all starting from behind.
True. Okay, well then, yeah, I won't even tell you about Wandering Stars, which comes out in February and actually sounds amazing.
Might be
Cool.
perfect.
Yes. Well, thank you guys for being here, and thank you to all of our, I'm gonna guess, 500 listeners on this episode. Thank you
Definitely.
so much for listening, and please do check out an Indigenous author when you can.